Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I was once lost, but now I'm found. Listen to John Schaefer on Soundcheck.
From WNYC in New York, this is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Busy show for you in the next hour. We've got a review of the new album by The Strokes. Can they finally escape from the shadow of their own hugely successful debut 12 years ago? Also, live music from the popular dance band whose name is spelled S-T-R-F-K-R. Go ahead, write it down, sound it out, and you'll see why I'm just going to keep spelling their name. Anyway, they've got a new album out too. We'll hear them play some of it. And the forthcoming album by the Balkan-inflected duo called A Hawk and a Hacksaw is actually a new score to an old Russian film. We'll find out how that happened. But first... For some strange reason, mixing consoles are making headlines in the music world right now. Yeah, those big soundboards that are at the heart of every recording studio. As you may recall, a Neve console is playing a starring role in the documentary Sound City, directed by Dave Grohl of Nirvana and the Foo Fighters. We covered that on the program last week. And a couple of weeks back, The New Yorker reported on a soundboard that had been purchased by this Grammy-winning band, Phoenix. Why would The New Yorker report on that? I don't know. Let's ask the guys themselves, because they are here with us in the Soundcheck studio. Branko, Tomas, Chris, and Deck, they are the band Phoenix. Welcome to our studios.
Thank you.
So, Branko, let me start with you.
Yeah.
Why would you want the soundboard that Michael Jackson's Thriller was made on?
Who wouldn't want it?
Well, I mean, I might want it, but I certainly wouldn't pay thousands and thousands of dollars for it.
It was for sale for $1 million. We got it for a little bit more than $15,000, which is a good bargain.
that's a bargain.
Yeah.
So it sounds like maybe there wasn't a whole line of people bidding to buy this thing.
Actually, I think everybody would have wanted it, but everybody believed it was a fake. Because the guy selling it was an artist. And he looked very much like a scam artist, actually.
A scam artist, okay. So you guys eventually got the... Probably cost you almost as much to ship the board to France as it did to buy the thing.
Yeah, we have a very big, beautiful box in France now. I don't know really what to put in it now. Now it's empty. But.
Well, what did you do with it? I mean, this famous mixing console that Quincy Jones and Bruce Swedeen created the sounds of Michael Jackson's Thriller. What are you guys doing with it now?
Well, we have our studio.
Mm-hmm.
So we need gear, you know, and buying gear is usually very boring. But this time it was really exciting. And actually we use it. We used it on this record.
So you did it to mix the new album, Bankrupt.
Yes. And actually it sounds beautiful.
Mm-hmm. What you want and what you do. That's just a little bit of the album version of the lead single called Entertainment from the upcoming album Bankrupt by the band Phoenix. And we're going to hear them play a stripped-down version of that song for us here in the studio in a moment. Thomas, the title Bankrupt, kind of an odd title. What's the idea there?
For some reason that I don't know, we were attracted by things that were not beautiful or elegant, but things that are harsh, hostile, ugly, you know, and a lot of the themes on this record are have a link with this. And bankrupt, you know, when you say it, it doesn't even sound good, you know, it's just harsh. And we just like that idea. Also, the fact that there was something beautiful about the possibility of failing, you know, the what you do, what's post success, that everything after this can be interesting.
Well, now, and very apropos for this band, because you won a Grammy for the last record, Wolfgang Amadeus Phoenix, huge success for you guys. And now, talk about the possibility of failure, you have to kind of build on that. Was that intimidating when you guys started making this record?
I think it's exciting. You know, I think it's something that we, since we, our whole experience, I think it's something we'd rather play with than just be pressured by it.
Yeah. The album is called Bankrupt, and it comes out on April 23rd here in the States. The band is Phoenix. They're performing on Saturday Night Live on April 6th and playing for us here in the Soundcheck studio. The single, Entertainment, is the only song that anybody's heard from the record so far, right?
Yeah, unless they playing the dangerous game of illegal download.
In which case, those people are morally bankrupt.
Exactly.
All right, let's hear a live performance of the song Entertainment. This is Phoenix, live on Soundcheck.
Headline from this day on. Why you keep pretending that you won't let go? Do you want to let go? If loud rolling to slow, low, 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 low. What you want and what you do to me? I take the trouble, let you have my mind. I'd rather be alone.
Entertainment is the single from the forthcoming record by the band Phoenix, who just played it for us live here in the Soundcheck studio. Thomas Mars singing, Christian Matsalai playing guitar, Laurent Brankovitz playing keyboard, Deck Darcy also playing keyboard. So almost an unplugged version of the song. I mean, obviously, you know, it's a bigger, fuller sound on the record. And Thomas, people have noticed and talked about your lyrics in the past as being kind of hard to follow, you know, not really sure exactly what the story is. Does that continue in this new record as well?
Yes. Even if I think, you know, even if some songs on this record might be crystal clear to me, I'm sure it will confuse people.
Yeah.
There's a song called Chloroform, which we wrote. It's probably the fastest song we've ever written, which took us 2 weeks. And we, you know, I think it's pretty simple. But then I was surprised how people reacted, that they're still, you know, it's pretty cryptic to them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, having just listened to the record before we started today, that track I noticed because I heard the word chloroform suddenly. I was like, what is this song about?
Yes.
Do you write in French or in English?
In English.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. We never really chose to sing in French or English. It came like that. But I think this record has maybe the most French approach to it lyrically, maybe. And there's a lot of French references, and there's French names even. Bourgeois. Dracar Noir, there's a song called Dracar Noir.
Dracar Noir, which is
cheap French perfume.
Yes, for men.
Yes.
I was wondering what that meant too. And having listened to that song again, I was like, yep, no clue.
Maybe with the booklet, hopefully the lyrics, it will make sense.
Okay. Now, Entertainment has a video, Branko, but the video is probably just as confusing. It's set in Korea. It looks like it's mostly South Korea.
Yeah.
But one or two scenes look very North Korean. What was the idea behind this?
When we wrote this song, we thought specifically about Korea. And
why?
What do you mean, why?
Why Korea? I mean, it just seems kind of, you're a French band singing in English. Hey, let's think about Korea.
No, I mean, we think about a lot of things. We spend 2 years together in a room. And we talk for hours because we are friends. Mm-hmm. So we talk about everything: pepper, tomatoes,
Korea,
Korea. But it's more, you know, the tension, the political tension, mm-hmm. and also the fact that it reminds us being European of, you know, Berlin,
right?
West East Germany. And all those places that have a lot of poetic power just because of the political situation. And we wanted to make a video about, you know, about that.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe with a lighter, you know, lighter approach.
Yeah.
And so the director came to us with the idea of using Korean soap operas, you know, which we didn't know, but which we adored instantly because they are very, very, you know, stupid and beautiful at the same time.
Very over the top.
Yeah.
Which is, I mean, this video is just like, I mean, one set of people are in medieval times, apparently.
Yeah, we, yeah.
It's a really fun video, and you can find it on the website at soundcheck.org, the video to the Phoenix single called Entertainment. I know a lot of people are looking forward to hearing the rest of the album Bankrupt, which comes out April 22nd on that side of the Atlantic, April 23rd here in the States. The guys from Phoenix, Thomas, Branko, Deck, Chris, thank you so much for coming in and playing for
us
today.
Thank you.
I've been looking for something else.
stop by our website, soundcheck.org, at 2 p.m. tomorrow to listen in to our in-studio taping with Natalie Dawn. She's half of the duo Pamplemousse, but her latest solo effort is called How I Knew Her. Check it out tomorrow, 2 p.m. Eastern, on soundcheck.org. Up next, the latest album from New York City rock band The Strokes is out today. It's called The Come Down Machine. We'll hear more about it in a moment. From a mess to the masses. Soundcheck, I'm John Schaefer. The New York band The Strokes exploded out of the gate 12 years ago with their highly acclaimed album, Is This It? Since then, they've put out several more albums, but with rumors of possible breakups, band infighting, and some pretty harsh reviews. Today, the group releases their fifth album, called Come Down Machine. Stephen Hayden, staff writer for the sports and pop culture site Grantland, joins me now by phone. Steve, welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So, Strokes album, Come Down Machine, what do you think of it?
You know, I like this record, and I feel like I might be the only person who likes this record.
Already?
Well, just based on the early reactions that I've seen. I mean, the reactions in the British press have been pretty positive, but the Strokes have always done pretty well over there.
Yep.
It's not the strongest record they've ever made, but it's certainly the weirdest. And I think if you're a Strokes fan, there's a lot to appreciate, you know, in that context.
Yeah. It's their first album since Angles in 2011. I have to say, Steve, when I started listening, I think I was probably three or four tracks into the record before I thought, okay, now it sounds like the Strokes. You know, it was like, who is this? What would you say is, I mean, for folks who, you know, have become familiar with and accustomed to the old Strokes sound, what is the most Strokesy track on their new record?
I think it's definitely the song All the Time, which is the second song on the record. You know, it has those interlocking guitars, the monotone vocals. You know, it sounds like something that could have appeared on any one of their records.
The Strokes from their new record called Come Down Machine, that's called All the Time. Stephen Hayden's on the line with us from Milwaukee, staff writer for the website Grantland, and talking about The Strokes, the new record, which is not quite, you know, David Bowie's The Next Day. It wasn't quite a stealth release, but still done without a lot of hype, which sets it apart from previous Strokes albums.
Yeah, you know, when the news of this record came out in January, you know, it didn't come because there was like a press release announcing the record. It was actually someone on Reddit messing with the band's website's code, and they found the track listing in the album art, and that's how the news got out. You know, and there's only been one interview that the band has done, and the bass player did an interview on BBC Radio talking about the record, and even that interview, it was fairly cryptic. You know, my theory on this is that the band did a lot of interviews for Angles, and the press from those interviews was really negative. I mean, all the band did basically was rip the record, you know, talking about how horrible it was to make. You know, Julian Casablancas wasn't in the studio. He was disengaged. And that coverage ended up informing a lot of the narrative on the record. You know, after that, people started talking about how disjointed it sounded and how, you know, kind of perfunctory a lot of the songs were. So I don't know if maybe the band is like, well, we're just not going to say anything this time, and maybe people won't judge it based on, you know, what we're going to say about the record. I don't know. But, yeah, there's definitely been a pronounced lack of chatter from the Strokes about this record.
We're speaking with Steve Hyden, staff writer for Grantland. The Strokes' new album is called Come Down Machine. And the last album, 2011, was called Angles. And when they released that album, we did a soundcheck smackdown about it. And, Steve, I want to read you three of the comments that came in on our website that day. A listener called That North Kid wrote, "This is my first Strokes album, and I love it. Turned off at first by the 80s production, but the way they collage different moods and arrange their songs won me over." On the other hand, Paul wrote in, "The Strokes are, without a doubt, the single most overrated, overhyped band in history. If they came from any other place other than NYC, they would be labeled what they are, pure, unadulterated garbage." And Now, wait, one more. Chris from Bed-Stuy, we apparently had played a little bit of Is This It. Chris wrote, "Playing that clip from Is This It as the intro just highlights why this new album can't be anything but disappointing. That song was perfect. This new stuff is okay, but forgettable." So there you have three very different views of the Strokes as a band and of their last record. Now, does that kind of echo the things that you've been hearing?
Yeah, I think that what made them important early on was that they were associated with this moment in time. You know, Is This It came out on September 11th, and the Strokes were associated with New York City at that time.
Right.
And I think a lot of people attached their emotions about, like, if you didn't live in New York, you kind of attached your emotions about what New York represents to the Strokes. And I can't help but think that the baggage of all that that's attached to Is This It is what makes that record seem more important than maybe their other records.
Well, we also here in New York at least saw it as, like, you know, New York reclaiming its place at the center of the rock universe, you know, which is a weird thing to say in 2013 when it seems like every other band is coming out of Brooklyn. But in 2001, you know, this was like a shot across the bow to say, hey, don't forget about New York. We still make great music here. And just a reminder, this is the Strokes from that debut record, Is This It? Strokes from that debut album, Is This It, from 2001, and the song Hard to Explain. It is hard to explain the arc of the career of the Strokes, but Steve Hyden's giving it a go. Staff writer for Grantland, the new album by the Strokes is out now. It's called Come Down Machine. And Steve, you were talking before about the track we heard all the time that has that kind of classic Strokes sound. One of the signifying sounds wasn't just Julian Casablancas' voice. It was the voice processed to sound like he was singing over the telephone or through a megaphone or something like that. There is some of that on this new record, but they really do seem to be casting a much wider aural net with this new record.
Yeah, you know, following up Angles, which was a really 80s influenced record. I mean, right down to the cover art, you know, that bright yellow cover with, like, the, you know, the pink and blue cubes and all that, looked like an Atari video game or something. Some of that carries over to this record. I mean, this is another really kind of 80s new wave with some synth pop influences on there. You know, like one of my favorite songs actually is maybe the least Strokes-y song on the record. It's the last track, and it's this sort of weird, vaguely Hawaiian sounding like tone poem thing where Julian Casablancas isn't, he's like singing in this like falsetto that like doesn't totally work, but like it's kind of touching, you know, it's like a guy trying to sing high, and you know, that kind of vulnerability there of like reaching for something and not being able to get it kind of thing. You know, if you're willing to look at this record as like a late career effort from a band that's been around for a while and you're not sure if they're going to stick around or not, I think it's really interesting.
Close the door, not all the way.
The song's called Call It Fate, Call It Karma. Steve Hyten, just real quick, you said you termed this a late career effort. Does this sound to you like a farewell effort from the Strokes?
Well, you know, if you're a conspiracy theorist, you would say that the Strokes signed a 5-album deal at the start of their career, and this is their 5th record. And they're not doing any promotion on it. So I don't know. I mean, as far as we know, this is the last album on their contract, so they could, you know, they could make more records after this, sign with somebody else, or be independent, or, you know, maybe this is it.
Is this it? The big question remains all those years later. Talking about the Strokes with Steve Hyten, staff writer for Grantland. Steve, thanks very much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
This is Soundcheck. Have you ever misheard the lyric to a song? Maybe you kept mishearing that lyric for weeks or even years. That's called a mondegreen. Here's one of my favorite examples. A Soundcheck listener named Kara once gave us her favorite mondegreen for this Kiss song, Rock and Roll All Night. The line is, I want to rock and roll all night and party every day. But Kara heard it as, I want to rock and roll all night and part of every day. Which, after all, sounds much more reasonable. So, do you, like Kara, have a favorite mondegreen? We're going to be talking about them on the show next week, and we might use your story on the air. You can leave your mondegreen, your misheard lyric, and whatever story goes with it, on our voicemail at 866-939-1612, or send it to us via Facebook or Twitter. The number again, 866-939-1612. Speaking of stories, there's one behind this week's Check Ahead album from the band A Hawk and a Hacksaw. We'll hear that and some live music from the band STRFKR coming up next. This is Soundcheck. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. The Portland, Oregon-based indie dance band that we'll call STRFKR began as a solo project for the multi-instrumentalist Josh Hodges, but over the last few years, the group has solidified into a collective, and they bring their high-energy live shows to as many moving bodies as will have them, a group that now includes us, because the band is here in our studio with a new album called Miracle Mile, and they're going to play a tune called While I'm Alive. It's the band STRFKR live on Soundcheck. Song's called While I'm Alive. That is the band STRFKR. That is the name of the band. You can try and pronounce it if you like, but I'm just going to continue spelling it as long as we're on the air here with them. The new album from the band is called Miracle Mile, and Josh Hodges playing synthesizer and vocals. Hey, Josh.
Hey, how's it going?
Kiel Corcoran behind the drum kit, also at a microphone. Hey. Hi, Kiel. Patrick Morris playing guitar, keyboards, tiny bit of percussion there at the false ending. Sean Glassford, bass, and more keyboards. Josh, you came up with the original name of this band, which was STRFKR with a few vowels thrown
in.
It was then briefly changed to Pyramid with extra D's, and then back to the sort of abbreviated version of the original name.
Constantly evolving. I'll probably change it again. Or devolving.
Yeah, it totally is.
At what point did it occur to you, if ever, hey, I've picked a name that nobody can say on the radio?
I mean, from the very beginning, I didn't think we'd ever be in a position to be having our songs
to be worried about that?
Yeah, exactly.
Now, Kiel, it seems like this album, Miracle Mile, is in terms of the songwriting, it was a more collaborative kind of band effort. Is that accurate?
For sure. I mean, still, Josh writes the bulk of most of the stuff, but we all came with our own ideas, and Patrick and I helped Josh finish some songs, and yeah, we worked together. It was good.
Mm-hmm.
It was really good.
And is it? Do you hear a difference in the sound because of the difference in the songwriting?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Patrick's got a really unique style of guitar playing. It's just very, like, rhythmic and kind of disco.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I mean, we all kind of brought our own things to the table. I wrote, like, a bass line or two, and I like to write real funky bass lines.
So what was the original? You did set out, Josh, to make a dance band initially?
Yeah. I mean, I was just tired of I got bored going to shows a bunch in Portland. I was in another band, and I was bored playing shows with that band. It's kind of like a mellow music. And this just started. This is just what I did for fun in my basement, is like build dancey stuff and then play drums to it. And then I don't know. I mean, that's why I had the dumb name. I didn't think it would be anything more than just a project to go play some house shows, and then that would be it. And it just kind of evolved into this. But also, I mean, the idea too was that I wanted to have a show where it's like people like me who were bored going to shows could go and like dance if they didn't like the music, or if they didn't like the dance, they could just, it's like actually, you know, fully formed songs with like choruses and like, you know, they can listen to the music and just stand in the corner.
So are you all, you know, the Arcade Fire has that song with the line about, you know, the indie kids with their arms folded tight,
mm-hmm.
You know, there's that kind of image of the rock the hipster audience saying, all right, impress me.
yeah, for sure.
Do you get them up and dancing? Point, huh?
We're really lucky. We have awesome fans. And our shows are so fun. I feel like half of it, it's a lot of it is about our relationship with the fans at a live show. And it started, I think maybe it comes from, you know, it started at house shows where we're all on the same level and most people can't even see us unless you're right up front. And we're like, it just feels like one collective thing instead of a performance in the way that it normally is. It's like we're all there together. We're all sweating and touching each other. And even though we're playing big rooms now, it still has some of that left. Like, we crowd surf. People, like, get up on stage sometimes. And
there is a photo of Patrick crowd surfing from a recent show. So apparently...
I think that was Sean, but yeah.
Is it?
Yeah, okay. That was just a couple nights ago, actually.
All right.
Yeah. With the bass in hand, yeah.
Oh, you indie rockers. You all look alike when you're being crowd surfed along. So are you all multi-instrumentalists? I mean, Josh, you talked about drumming, and Kiel, you're the drummer, but you talked about writing bass lines and stuff. Mm-hmm. Is there a lot of swapping of instruments during the course of a show?
Yeah, we switch around. Okay. I mean, it just keeps it interesting, you know.
Right. We're speaking with and listening to the band STRFKR. Pronounce it at your own risk. Miracle Mile is their most recent album, and they're playing for us here in the Soundcheck studio. You guys want to do another song?
Yeah.
You want to do Atlantis?
Yeah, it sounds good.
All right. Once again, the new album called Miracle Mile is the latest from STRFKR. Let's hear a live performance of this song, Atlantis, on Soundcheck.
Thank you.
The song's called Atlantis from the band STRFKR. A version of it is on their new album, Miracle Mile. You heard Josh Hodges, Sean Glassford, and Patrick Morris all playing keyboards, Keel Corcoran behind the drum kit, Josh and Keel singing. Now, your live show, you guys have been touring around with this, like, LED wall thing, which looks really... Are you familiar with Square Pusher, the British DJ?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, he's got this kind of weird... LED display.
Yeah, yeah.
Thing
Sean
too.
Was telling me about his setup. I guess it's really, really elaborate.
It's like all homemade, and you know, it's like he wears a helmet, and it has the you know, the helmet is like a mini version of the huge display behind him. Anyway,
that's really cool.
So LED technology has gotten to the point, obviously, where you can travel around with it.
I mean, ours is homemade too. Keo thought up the idea, and then we had some friends build it for us in Portland. It folds up, it accordions up, and then so we just fit it in the trailer, and then it pops up, and it's a really simple design, like the. You know, the structure, the way that it stands and everything. It's really...
It's only about 80 pounds.
Yeah.
It's,
really?
Yeah, it's really nice.
But it's big.
Yeah.
It's 14 foot wide by 8 foot tall.
Wow. Yeah. And so what was the idea? I mean, Josh said you had the idea for it. What was that idea?
Oh, I don't know. Just like, you know...
Wouldn't it be cool?
Yeah, obviously. Yeah. No, I've seen like a lot of, you know, like the big like DJs like Daft Punk and, you know, Justice. All of them like have these like synced up light displays. And I was like, I wonder if we could do that like... cheap because we don't obviously have as much money as they do, but
couldn't you just have had a disco ball?
I mean, yeah, I mean, everybody's like, why didn't you just get a projector? But I don't know, that'd be nice. It's a disco ball.
All right, the band is on tour now. It's STRFKR. Guys, it has been fun having you playing for us here in the Soundcheck studio today. Thanks so much.
Thanks
for having us.
This is Soundcheck.
You're listening to Sound with John Schaefer. You're listening to Soundcheck. You're listening to Soundcheck.
This week's Check Ahead, our weekly album preview stream, is from the band A Hawk and a Hacksaw. This New Mexico-based duo of Heather Trost and Jeremy Barnes has built its reputation on performing music, both old and new, that is rooted in the folk traditions of Eastern Europe. Their new album comes out on April 2nd, and it's more than just a collection of songs. It's a soundtrack to a 1964 Russian film called Shadows of Forgotten Ancestors by the filmmaker Sergei Parajanov. On the line to tell us a bit more is Jeremy Barnes from A Hawk and a Hacksaw. Jeremy, welcome back to Soundcheck.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
So explain the concept of your record, which is called You Have Already Gone to the Other World.
A few years ago, we decided to do a reworking of the soundtrack to this film, Shadows of Forgotten Ancestors. And we took it on tour in Europe a few times and did some film festivals here and there. And all the while we were recording at home, we come home and record and watch the film and think about some of the meanings of the film, some of the storylines. And some of the songs are directly influenced by the film and others are inspired, you know. And basically, the film inspired us to go in new directions that we hadn't really been to before. Parajanov's kind of vision and the way he put this film together is amazing. And to be honest, it infested my dreams, you know, this kind of all this magic and folklore.
Well, what is the storyline? What is the plot of Shadows of Forgotten Ancestors?
Well, on the surface, it's sort of a Romeo and Juliet story that takes place in a very small village atmosphere in the high Carpathian mountains of southern Ukraine. But at the same time, there's a lot going on with religion and paganism and dreams and the afterlife.
And so you see this film and you decide that musical score is not doing it for me. Let's make our own. What was the original film music like?
Well, a lot of the music in the film is beautiful folk music from the Hutsul. It's a tribe of people that live up in the
Hutsul. Yes, Carpathia. Yeah, Hutsul and, is usually how I see it spelled.
Yeah. A lot of the music from the film is utterly beautiful, and that was another inspiration. I was watching it, and I thought, oh, some of these songs, they're great. And so we would go through and learn some. And there are some parts of the film that the sound was recorded in a studio, I think, in Moscow. And I wasn't as fond of that. It was kind of a 60s orchestra with trumpet and, you know, strings. And so it just occurred to me, well, what if we just reworked this and we played music from the region? And the film, to me, is a masterpiece.
We're speaking with half of the band, A Hawk and a Hacksaw. It's Jeremy Barnes on the line with us from New Mexico. The forthcoming record, which is streaming all this week on our website at soundcheck.org, is called You Have Already Gone to the Other World, music inspired by Parajanov's film Shadows of Forgotten Ancestors. Here is a little clip of the film and some of the music, that the original folk music that Jeremy's been talking about. Right, so that's just a little bit from this film by Sergei Parajanov from 1964 called Shadows of Forgotten Ancestors. And Jeremy Barnes from Hawk and a Hacksaw with me on the line. We could hear this kind of fiddle thing and a jaw harp and, of course, a little bit of singing and stuff. What all is happening at this part of the movie?
In this section of the movie, actually, it's right after the main character's lover is drowned in a river, and he basically leaves the village and he goes up into the high peaks to become a shepherd and live alone as basically like a, you know, a pauper. And the film, which is in this amazing Technicolor and a lot of the sets are painted, when this happens, the film goes to complete stark black and white. And it's the winter time, and he's up there in the snow, and he's, you know, freezing. He's alone, and he's wearing rags, and he's just mourning the loss of his lover. And at one point, he's kind of, I think, overcome by sadness as well as cold, and he's sort of outside of this church, and he starts hallucinating, and this kind of vibrant image of Jesus on the cross comes up, and all these hurdy-gurdies and jaw harps, as you heard, are going, and it's a great example of Parajanov's just use of color and sound. This film is so psychedelic. It's amazing. It was made in 1963, and the techniques that they use, that they were able to get with a film camera, are just incredible.
So made in 63, released in 64 in the Soviet Union, where
exactly. Yeah.
how was it received?
Well, I don't know how it got through the censors. I think it was censored in the beginning, and then it had a lot of popularity outside of the Soviet Union. The thing is that it not only, I mean, Parajanov was Armenian, working in the Soviet Union, creating a story about the Hutsuls, you know, at a time when everyone should be talking about, you know, the Soviet Union, not about tiny ethnic minorities, you know, nobody in the Russian socialist realism art scene wanted to talk about, you know, the Hutsuls.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I don't know how he got the budget. I don't know. It's amazing that he did, you know, but he did go through a lot of pain and difficulty, you know.
Yeah. Wasn't he like a political prisoner for a while?
Yeah. Yeah, he was, yeah.
The director, Sergei Parajanov, is who we're talking about. The man behind this Russian film called, or Soviet film called, Shadows of Forgotten Ancestors. It is the inspiration behind this new record from A Hawk and a Hacksaw. The album's called You Have Already Gone to the Other World. It comes out next Tuesday, but before that happens, you can hear it in its entirety, streaming on our website as this week's Check Ahead at soundcheck.org. Jeremy, it's been a while since we last had you and Heather, the rest of the duo, there in our Soundcheck studio. We'll look forward to seeing you again.
Yeah, I hope so. Definitely.
Jeremy Barnes from A Hawk and a Hacksaw. This is Soundcheck. The duo A Hawk and a Hacksaw, and the title track from their upcoming album. It's called You Have Already Gone to the Other World, and it's this week's Check Ahead. You can listen to the whole thing streaming live right now on our website at soundcheck.org. That's going to do it for tonight's show. Tomorrow, join us back here at 9 p.m. We'll hear an in-studio session from the band Low, the Duluth, Minnesota-based group that's celebrating their 20th year together. Low will join us to play songs from their new record, The Invisible Way. Plus, how the return of The Tonight Show to New York City next year might shift the power balance on late-night TV and affect the music performances you watch on late-night shows. We're going to leave you with another performance from tonight's music guest, STR FKR. This song is called Leave It All Behind. That's Leave It All Behind by the band STRFKR. By the way, you can stream and download the full segment and almost everything else you hear on the show on our website, soundcheck.org. See you back here tomorrow night at 9. I'm John Schaefer.